So first of all, it's a great pleasure to be here together with my co-authors to present and to discuss this paper with you. And actually, this paper was initially prepared during the round six of the IAAR KPMG NISB research program. So I really would like to thank you for the opportunity to be here again discussing the revised version of this paper. So going to the paper, this research is about the accounting treatment of joint venture investments. And as a contextualization, it's important to explain that prior to IFRS 11, the previous international standard, IAS 31, allowed the choice between proportionate consolidation and equity methods to measure joint venture investments. But after IFRS 11, which came into force in 2013 or 2014 in European countries, only the equity method is allowed. And one of the main motivations of this research is that the IASB, in the basis for conclusions on IFRS 11, argues that one of the main limitations with the previous international standard was that this accounting choice between proportionate consolidation and equity method was impairing the comparability of accounting information. So basically, the option of using proportionate consolidation was eliminated, seeking to improve comparability. And our research aims to explore this issue. And consequently, the main purpose of this research is to evaluate the impact of the adoption of IFRS 11 and the elimination of the option of using proportionate consolidation on the comparability of accounting information. And in addition, together with IFRS 11, the IASB also issued the IFRS 12, which is about the disclosure requirements of investments in other entities, of course, including joint venture investments. And also, in the basis for conclusions on IFRS 11, the IASB argues that the elimination of the proportionate consolidation proposed by IFRS 11 should not result in informational loss for users of information, given that IFRS 12 improved the quality of the disclosures of this kind of investments. And so basically, all the information that could be previously obtained in the financial statements prepared using the proportionate consolidation can now be obtained in the notes to the financial statements. So as additional analysis, this research also aims to analyze the financial information about joint venture investments disclosed in the notes to the financial statements in order to evaluate if this improvement in disclosure requirements proposed by IFRS 12 would mitigate the consequence of the elimination of proportionate consolidation. And to do so, we build a unique and quite comprehensive database composed by 2,059 firms with joint venture investments from 26 countries during the years of 2005 and 2016, so 12 years, except for those countries that have adopted the IFRS standards after 2005, in which, of course, the period of analysis is smaller. Resulting in a sample of 14,356 financial statements. And in each of these financial statements, we had collected from the notes to these financial statements the data about accounting treatment used by firms to measure their joint venture investments, especially prior to IFRS 11 adoption, of course. And also for those firms that had to change their accounting treatment from proportionate consolidation to the equity method when adopting IFRS 11, we also had collected from the notes the financial information about these joint venture investments, and specifically assets, liabilities, equity, revenues, expenses, and the net income of these joint venture investments. And following, seeking to measure liability, used proposed by BARF et al. 2012, known as accounting systems comparability. And this metric is based on the relation between the economic outcomes and the accounting amounts, and the economic outcomes as our dependent variables and the accounting amounts as our explanatory variables. And basically, the accounting system of each firm is the coefficients of these regressions. And as economic outcomes, we use stock price, stock return, and future operating cash flow. And as accounting amounts, we segregate the equity into assets and liabilities and the net income into revenues and expenses, given that the equity and the net incomes are the same between the proportionate consolidation and the equity method. So we have these three models here to measure comparability: the price model, the return model, and the cash flow model. Given that the comparability metric is calculated for each pair of treatment and control firms, we use the method sample design estimated by the propensity score matching. And to do so, we first classified our sample into two groups. The treatment group is composed by firms that were affected by IFRS 11 adoption, and I mean for that firms that had to change their accounting treatment from proportionate consolidation to the equity method when adopting IFRS 11. And the control group is composed, of course, by firms that were not affected by IFRS 11 adoption, given that they already used the equity method since prior to the adoption. And to estimate the propensity score matching, we used variables such as industry dunnage, total assets, indebtedness ratio, revenues, return on assets, and the market to book. And regarding the structure of our analysis, we first presented a descriptive analysis of our database regarding the accounting treatment most frequently used by firms prior to IFRS 11 adoption in each country, and also the determinants of this choice. And following, we presented our results about the comparability analysis, in which we first measured the comparability using all firms from all countries of our sample together. But after seeking to evaluate if the results would be different between firms from different countries, and also seeking to better isolate the effect of IFRS 11 adoption from other compounding effects using a set of firms as a benchmark group, we classified the 26 countries of our sample into clusters using a set of cultural and institutional variables, and then we measured the comparability between several possible combinations of clusters. And finally, we also presented the analysis provided by firms regarding their investments in joint ventures according to IFRS 12. So regarding the descriptive analysis, this first plot here shows the number of firms using the proportionate consolidation in the green line and the number of firms using the equity method in the red line. And the blue line is the total number of firms analyzed in each year. And we can see here that in the first years, the number of firms using the proportionate consolidation was quite similar to the number of firms using the equity method. And as expected, of course, this number began to reduce only after the adoption of IFRS 11 in 2013 or 2014 in European countries. And following, using only the years prior to IFRS 11 adoption, this second plot here shows the percentage of firms in each country that use the proportionate consolidation against the percentage of firms in each country that use the equity method. And this plot here is quite interesting, given that you can see here on the top a set of countries in which the proportionate consolidation prevailed in more than 75% of firms, such as Brazil, Denmark, France, Sri Lanka, and Spain. And on the contrary, we can see here on the bottom some countries such as Australia, Malaysia, Hong Kong, Kuwait, United Kingdom, and New Zealand, in which the equity method was the accounting treatment most frequently used by firms. And we also can see here in the middle some countries such as Canada and Italy, in which the number of firms using proportionate consolidation was quite similar to the number of firms using the equity method. And following, seeking to understand the reasons why some firms use the proportionate consolidation prior to IFRS 11 adoption instead of the equity method, we also performed an analysis of the determinants of this choice for proportionate consolidation using the data from the years between 2005 and 2012, so the pre-IFRS 11 adoption period. And this is the results of our logistic regressions. And we can see here, what's interesting to note here is that, as expected, actually, firms from countries more bank-oriented, and I mean for that, firms from countries in which firms are more likely to raise funds through financial institutions instead of capital markets were more likely to raise to use proportionate consolidation prior to IFRS 11 adoption instead of firms from more bank-oriented, more market-oriented countries. So similarly, for the conditions for size are also positive, but for the leverage and Big Four variables, we found a negative relation with the likelihood of using proportionate consolidation prior to IFRS 11 adoption. Regarding the comparability analysis, this is our main result. And we first estimate the full model using a sample after the method composed by 1,026 firms and 9,574 observations equally segregated between treatment and control firms. And the results for the price, return, and cash flow model indicate that the difference between treatment and control firms increased from the pre-period to the post-IFRS 11 adoption period. And this increase in the difference means a decrease in comparability after the adoption of IFRS 11 and the elimination of the option of using proportionate consolidation. So in general, our main results indicate that there was a decrease in comparability after the adoption of IFRS 11. But following seeking to understand if the general decrease in comparability reported by the full model would be at least partially explained by the results observed in specific countries, we classified 26 countries of our sample into clusters using a set of cultural and institutional variables, such as religion, level of development, culture, financial system, legal system, ownership concentration, protection to non-controlling shareholders, level of enforcement, political systems, tax, international exposure measured by the FDI, and also the inflation rate. And this is the results of our cluster analysis. And we can see here the formation basically of seven clusters. This is the cluster number one, composed by Nigeria, South Africa, and Philippines. Cluster number two is composed by the continental European countries. Cluster number three is composed by the Anglo-Saxon countries. Cluster number four is composed by the Latin American countries. Cluster number five is composed by the Nordic countries plus the Netherlands. Cluster number six is composed only by Hong Kong. So Hong Kong is really quite different from other countries. And finally, cluster number seven is composed by Kuwait, Malaysia, Sri Lanka, and Turkey. And then we analyzed which was the accounting treatment most frequently used by firms in each of the seven clusters. And we found that the equity method was the accounting treatment used by almost all firms from clusters three and six. So cluster three composed by Australia, Canada, Ireland, New Zealand, and United Kingdom, and cluster six composed only by Hong Kong. So these two clusters were considered as control clusters. And for the other clusters one, two, four, five, and seven, we found both firms using the equity method and firms using the proportionate consolidation prior to IFRS 11 adoption. So these other clusters were considered as treatment clusters. And then we measured the comparability between several possible combinations between control and treatment clusters. So for example, we measured the comparability between the treatment cluster number one against the control cluster number three. And then we measured the comparability between the same treatment cluster number one against the control cluster number six. And a total of 10 cluster comparisons, consequently, were analyzed in this research combining these control and treatment clusters. And for each of these 10 cluster comparisons, we measured the comparability using two different models, the main model and the benchmark model. In the main model, we measure the comparability between firms from a treatment cluster that used proportionate consolidation prior to IFRS 11 adoption, but that had changed to the equity method after the adoption, against firms from a control cluster that used the equity method science prior to IFRS 11 adoption. In the second model, we measure the comparability. The second model was used as benchmark model. The second model, we measure the comparability between exactly the same treatment cluster, but using only those firms that were not affected by IFRS 11 adoption, given that they already used the equity method science prior to the adoption. And then we measure against the same control firms from the same control cluster that were also not affected by IFRS 11 adoption. So we believe that this research design better isolates the effect of IFRS 11 adoption from other confounded effects, given that actually the effect that may be attributable to IFRS 11 adoption and the elimination of the option of using proportionate consolidation is the difference in the behavior of the comparability metric over time between the main model and the benchmark model. As an example, this is the results for the comparison between clusters two and three, and this is the results for the price model. And these two plots here show the behavior of the comparability metric over time. But the first plot is from the comparison between proportionate consolidation and equity method, so our main model. And the second plot is from the comparison between equity method and equity method firms, so our benchmark model. And we can clearly see here in the first plot that there was a significant decrease in the difference between treatment and control firms after the adoption of IFRS 11 in 2013. And this decrease in the difference means an increase in comparability between clusters 2 and 3 after the adoption of IFRS 11. And what's interesting to note here is that this effect was not observed in the second plot. And actually, for the benchmark model, we can see here a slightly increase in the difference between treatment and control firms during the years of 2014 and 2015. But in general, around the years of IFRS 11 adoption, the comparability metric for this benchmark model remained almost constant over time. So it's possible to argue that this effect reported in the main model in the first plot may be attributable to IFRS 11 adoption instead of other confounded effects. And a similar behavior was observed in the return model and was even more pronounced in the cash flow model. So we can see here a significant, in the first plot, significant decrease in the difference between treatment and control firms. So an increase in comparability after the adoption of IFRS 11, while in the second plot, the comparability metric remained almost constant over time. So this effect here in the first plot may be attributable to IFRS 11 adoption and the elimination of the option of using proportionate consolidation. And from the total of 10 clusters comparisons, we found an increase in comparability in 4 cluster comparisons, but we also found a decrease in comparability in another 4 cluster comparisons. And for the comparisons between clusters 1 and 3 and between clusters 5 and 6, we found mixed results, given that they are sensible to the comparability metric that was used, stock price, stock return, or future operating cash flow. So considering all these results together, it's possible to argue that the general decrease in comparability reported by the full model may be at least partially influenced by the results observed in specific clusters, such as cluster number 4, the Latin American cluster, cluster number 5, composed by the Nordic countries plus the Netherlands, and cluster number 7, composed by Kuwait, Malaysia, Sri Lanka, and Turkey. And also, as I explained before, as additional analysis, this research also aims to analyze the financial information of joint venture investments disclosed in the notes, the financial statements, in order to evaluate if this improvement in disclosure requirements proposed by IFRS 12 would mitigate the consequences of the elimination of proportionate consolidation. And to do so, actually, our proposal would like to see, we would, if only this financial information disclosed in the notes, the investors would be able, the investors or other users of accounting information, of course, would be able to estimate the accounting amounts that would be reported by firms using the proportionate consolidation. So if they would be able to restate post IFRS 11 financial statements from the equity method to the proportionate consolidation using only the financial information disclosed in the notes. And to do so, we analyzed only those firms that had changed their accounting treatment from proportionate consolidation to the equity method when adopting IFRS 11. Consequently, for this specific analysis, our subsample is composed by 513 treatment firms. And of course, we analyzed only the years after the adoption of IFRS 11 and IFRS 12, resulting in a sample of 1,886 financial statements. And in each of these financial statements, we had collected from the notes, these financial statements, the financial information about joint venture's total assets, liabilities, equity, revenues, expenses, and the net income. And of the total of 1,886 financial statements, we found the financial information about joint venture's total assets in 57% of these financial statements, the joint venture's total liabilities in 57% also of these financial statements, the equity in 69% of these financial statements, the revenues in 52%, expenses in 51%, and the net income in 67% of this financial statement. So this percentage in general indicates that even for the most primary financial information, such as the equity and the net income, firms do not always comply with these disclosure requirements. And it's also important to explain that even for immature joint ventures, at least the aggregated financial information about the joint ventures equity and joint ventures net income in the notes to the financial statements according to IFRS 12. So basically, these numbers may be a first indication that the improvement in disclosure requirements proposed by IFRS 12 may not mitigate the consequence of the elimination of the proportionate consolidation, given that firms do not always comply with these disclosure requirements. But using only the this financial information disclosed in the notes, we were able to restate the post IFRS 11 financial statements from the equity method to the proportionate consolidation of 920 financial statements. It means almost 50% of our total sample of 1,886 financial statements that were analyzed. So for these financial statements in which we were able to recompose the proportionate consolidation, this table here presents the percentage difference in the total assets, liabilities, revenues, and expenses between the proportionate consolidation using the restatement data and the real data using the equity method. And we can see here that for some countries, these percentages are quite significant. And finally, using only those firms in which we were able to restate the post-IFRS 11 financial statements from proportionate consolidation to the equity method, as additional analysis, we also measured the comparability between treatment and control firms using two different models. In the first model, we measured the comparability between treatment and control firms using the real data. In the second model, we measured the comparability between exactly the same treatment firms and exactly the same control firms. But for the treatment firms, we used the restatement data as if these treatment firms had continued to use proportionate consolidation even after the adoption of IFRS 11. So basically, the only difference between the models 1 and model 2 is the manipulation of the post-IFRS 11 financial statements of treatment firms from the equity method to the proportionate consolidation. And consequently, the difference in the behavior of the comparability metric over time between the between the model 1 and model 2 may be attributable to the accounting treatment used by firms to measure their joint venture investments. However, actually, we found different results for the price model and the return model. And actually, for the price model, we found that the comparability between treatment and control firms would be greater if treatment firms could continue to use proportionate consolidation. So the comparability would be greater if firms had not adopted IFRS 11. However, for the return model, we found that the treatment and control firms would be less comparable if treatment firms could continue to use proportionate consolidation. But for this return model, actually, the difference between the real model and the restatement model is not quite significantly different. So, in summary, our main results indicate that there was a decrease in comparability after the adoption of IFRS 11 and the elimination of the option of using proportionate consolidation. But after classifying the 26 countries of our sample into clusters using a set of cultural and institutional variables, we found a decrease in comparability in 4 cluster comparisons, but we also found an increase in comparability in another 4 cluster comparisons. So this general decrease in comparability observed after the adoption of IFRS 11 may be at least partially influenced by the results observed in specific countries, such as cluster number 4, 5, and 7. And as expected contributions, we believe that this research may be relevant to the ISB, given that the proportionate consolidation was eliminated seeking to improve comparability, and our results indicate that this expected increase in comparability was not observed, and actually was not observed, at least not in all countries. And also, given that the increase in comparability is one of the main arguments used by the proponents of the worldwide adoption of IFRS standards, understand the factor that may impair comparability is quite relevant. And to the best of our knowledge, this research is one of the first attempts to empirically analyze the relation between accounting choices and comparability of accounting information. And finally, our results also provide important evidence that firms do not always comply with disclosure requirements, not even for the most primary financial information. And consequently, contrary to the ISB expectation, the improvement in disclosure requirements proposed by IFRS 12 may not mitigate the consequence of the elimination of proportionate consolidation. And finally, we believe that this research may be relevant not only for the post-implementation review of IFRS 11 and 12, but also for the Disclosure Initiative project. And that's it. Thank you for this opportunity again.